This is Jay Sekulow. The Attorney General says no to the Judiciary Committee at the House of Representatives.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The Attorney General not going to appear today because the DOJ is claiming the format being pushed by House Democrats is unprecedented.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Late last night, the Department of Justice wrote to inform us that they will ignore our subpoena for the unredacted Mueller report and the underlying evidence. They have made no meaningful attempt at accommodating that subpoena, which was due yesterday.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Take your calls, 800-684-3110. So the House Judiciary Committee met today, and they had asked for the Attorney General to appear. The Attorney General did not, because the method upon which they were going to do questioning was not just member questioning. They wanted the staff counsels from the committee, from the House Judiciary Committee, to actually do the questioning, or a significant portion of the questioning. That is unprecedented when you're talking about a member of the United States Cabinet, especially the Attorney General. Let me take it a step further. The Department of Justice also responded yesterday to Gerald Nadler's, the chairman of the Committee of the Judiciary, regarding his request for the unredacted report. There is a copy of a report that is available to what's called the Gang of Eight that is available to be reviewed, which has very, very limited redaction. I think only the 6E material. Yeah. The copy that I saw was redacted. So I saw the, when our legal team saw the copy a few days before it was released, it was exactly what was released to the public. But this is a copy that has, so that included the redactions. This copy has apparently very few redactions. And I, by the way, and Andy saw the document when you had a chance to see it when it was released. The document on volume two had very few redactions in it, even what was released. And now they're talking about an unredacted or significantly unredacted version.
Yeah, the volume two, we really saw 99.9%.
Yes, I think that was
volume
two,
according to what Assistant Attorney General Stephen Boyd said in terms of redactions. So it was basically unredacted, except for a very minute part of it that was. Well, what this is a complaint about, Jay, is simply theater and posturing. This is not, nobody has Nadler read the report that was given? I doubt very seriously.
I've asked a lot of people that. Go ahead, Jordan.
Well, that is actually in the response from the Department of Justice to Jerry Nadler yesterday on this unredacted report that they keep asking about. And this is the second paragraph, and it's public from the Office of Legislative Affairs of the U.S. Department of Justice. Regrettably, before even reviewing the less redacted version, or awaiting the Attorney General's testimony, you served a subpoena demanding 1, the unredacted report, 2, every document cited therein, and 3, all documents obtained and investigative materials created by the special counsel's office over nearly 2 years. In other words, the committee has demanded all the special counsel's investigation file, which consists of millions of pages of classified documents bearing upon more than two dozen criminal cases and investigations, many of which are ongoing. You served such a subpoena knowing that the department could not lawfully provide the unredacted report to the committee, especially if it lacks any legitimate legislative purpose for seeking complete investigative files.
So, Andy, when they talk about what Jordan was just talking about, the underlying 6E material, let's explain what that is.
6E material is material that under Rule 6E of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure was provided to the grand jury pursuant to a grand jury subpoena. That is secret material. I didn't make up the word secret. It's in the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure, Rule 6E. It says it is secret and it shall not be disclosed. Period, the end. And what the Assistant Attorney General is saying is that we have redacted, that means taken out, material obtained through grand jury subpoena, and you're not going to get it.
So I'm going to play, we'll wait for we get back on the Nancy Pelosi comments on this. This is political theater. That's what you're looking at. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. I also want to encourage you to stay engaged with us at the American Center for Law and Justice, Facebook, Periscope, our social media platforms, including Instagram, but also sign up for our newsletters at aclj.org. It's a great way to stay engaged and involved in what we're doing. Also, it's the National Day of Prayer today, so think about that. I know a lot of people participate in that around the country. We'll be back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
During the break, Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy, said, I wrote it down, a preemptive attack on Bill Barr is what we're witnessing. Go ahead and explain that to our radio audience, Eric.
So essentially, the Democrats dislike the conclusions reached by Bob Mueller and the Department of Justice. The bottom line remains the same. No collusion and no obstruction. That's number one. Number two, the Democrats fear that the Mueller report will boomerang on them. Why? Because Attorney General Barr, who is not a doormat, he has launched an inquiry into the initiation of this investigation.
You're right.
In other words, he's going to investigate the investigators. And who is in the frame for all of that? Largely Democratic operatives who concocted and created this Russia collusion narrative as a way of, number one, defeating President Trump, and two, diminishing his presidency. A third, the Democrats are worried because Attorney General Barr is also interested in something called spying, which some Democrats don't seem to understand, but nonetheless they fear because it may implicate the Obama administration in unauthorized spying on President Trump's campaign. So, at the end of the day, the entire special counsel investigation may do deep damage on the Democrats.
Do we have the sound, and we may not because it was such a long hearing yesterday, about investigating, he didn't exactly say investigating the investigators, but talking about the ongoing criminal investigations on leaks. I mean, this is something, you know, that he said. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. We'll take your calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. Do you think there should be an investigation of the investigators? 800-684-3110.
Yeah, and what do you think about this attack on our attorney general, which I believe, and I'd like to get your thoughts on it too, are just because he's a messenger, as Harry has said, of a message they just don't like. They don't like the conclusions Bob Mueller came to, or the lack thereof. Bob Mueller wouldn't come to conclusions either. So it's a 1-800-684-3110. It is going after the messenger here.
Let me tell you the biggest thing they didn't like. No collusion.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that was, yeah.
Yes.
No conspiracy, because that's what started this whole thing. The obstruction was a bizarre theory of obstruction to begin with. I mean, I called it obstruction by tweet. But the predicate which launched this entire investigation, Andy, the Steele dossier, the intelligence, the counterintelligence, was supposed to be this, you know, theory of conspiracy with Russian government officials or Russian operatives on the campaign, and that was zero.
It was concocted. It was concocted by Strzok, by Page, by McCabe. It was concocted by the deep state who wanted to derail the president's campaign, and they came up with it. They faked it. Can you imagine in the United States of America in the 21st century, the deep state within the FBI decides, we don't want this man to be president, and we're going to open a counterintelligence investigation against him, and we're going to fake up stuff, and we're going to take a dossier created by a British spy and paid for by the Democrats, and we're going to vouch for the credibility of that document before a United States district judge and get warrants?
Now there's also a report in The Hill from John Solomon, who we should try to get on the broadcast tomorrow. Let's see if we can get him lined up, where he's reporting about that Nellie Orr was sending this material directly to Bruce or her husband, and she was working for Fusion GPS. Exactly what we thought. Now they got the evidence that backs up. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, Robert's called in from Maryland on line one. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Robert, you're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jay. I wanted to ask the both of you, do you believe that the reason why the Attorney General of the Department of Justice is not appearing before this particular House committee is because they want to have staffers ask the questions, in addition to all the other things that you brought out, that the Mueller investigation doesn't reach the conclusions that the Democratic Party wants?
This was theater. If they wanted to have an opportunity to question, I mean, think about this for a moment. If the congressman, including Jerry Nadler, the chairman, wanted to question the attorney general, he made himself voluntarily available to do that. They could have questioned him for a day, and he was willing to do it. But instead, they throw in this, well, we want our staff counsels to be able to question the attorney general of the United States. And wisely, properly, the attorney general said, no, that's not appropriate. So I think that's number one. Number two, I go back to Robert, what I said earlier. This was all about, or supposedly about, Russian conspiracies with the department, Russian conspiracies with the Trump campaign, and it ended up being zero. There was nothing to it. Or as they say, no underlying crime. So the fact of the matter is, the main basis upon which all of this started came up to nothing, and that's indisputable. Then on the obstruction theory, this obstruction by tweet-ish, although they wouldn't draw, I mean, everybody forgets that Bob Mueller did not draw a legal conclusion. He said, he's not making the typical prosecutorial decision. By the way, all of this in violation of the regulations. Every bit of this was in violation of the regulations on how this report was supposed to come out. But the attorney general said he would do it. The president did not object it. Obviously, the president said send it out there. They did. And there it is. So with very minimal redactions. But if you looked at what, you know, the way they pitched the whole thing, they said, we're not saying he committed a crime. We're not exonerating him either. The job of a prosecutor, we said this yesterday, is not to exonerate. This would have been a declination letter. That's what this was, a reluctant declination letter. But it'll be very interesting to see why the House Democrats decided they didn't want to question him, Bill Barr themselves, Jordan.
I think we all know why. Look at how the U.S. senators did, and they've got more experienced staff writing the questions for them. Yes, I said it. They're not writing their own questions. They have staff pouring that over to try and get the attorney general and try to get gotcha questions in there, questions that are difficult or that may cause confusion or somehow uncover something new. Which there's nothing new here. I mean, they have the report. They don't want to read it. Only three members of Congress went and read it. But the truth is the House Democrats, other than a few running for president who said they would ask questions, most of them, and I think that this was Jerry Nadler too, Jerry Nadler didn't want them asking questions because it would make Democrats look horrendous when up against Bill Barr. And he's shown them time and time again, Bill Barr versus a two- or three-term Democrat in the House of Representatives, regardless of their education and background, they're getting their questions from 20-something-year-old staffers.
Exactly.
So if the senators are getting them from 30-something-year-old lawyers and they're not doing very good, then the House staff, even younger, so who do you have to do to? They wanted to go to their hired gun lawyer, right, who they brought in from a big law firm, to suddenly become this super questioner. And that is what the attorney
was
just said.
And he was not elected to office.
No, all right, he's not. He's not a constant.
Nancy Pelosi, this is what she said. Number 36.
The Attorney General of the United States of America was not telling the truth to the Congress of the United States. That's a crime.
So Nancy Pelosi is now accusing Andy, the President of the United States, of the Attorney General, of committing a crime.
On what evidence? I'd like to know. He wasn't telling the truth. Where did he lie? What false statement did he make? What is the crime that he committed? She makes these foolish statements, but I mean, I'm used to hearing foolish statements from Nancy Pelosi, and as long as she's going to be the Speaker of the House, we have to endure them. But what was the evidentiary basis upon which she said the Attorney General lied? She didn't provide that. She did her little sound bite and then retreated back to her castle in San Francisco.
Did we find the soundbite from Congressman Liu? I'll play that after the break.
The DOJ response to Nancy Pelosi is pretty specific. Speaker Pelosi's baseless attack on the Attorney General is reckless, irresponsible, and false. That is from the Department of Justice. I will tell you, this is because they are dealing with an Attorney General. I think it was the Wall Street Journal who said it today. A real Attorney General is the headline of their editorial.
He's an attorney
page.
And a general, as I like to say. Yes.
And you know what it is? When Charlie Crist asked him a question, a congressman who used to be a Republican who became a Democrat, he answered the question. He didn't go broader than the question that was asked.
What'd you do?
The question was about a bunch of staff for Bob Mueller. It wasn't even about Bob Mueller. And so he answers the question. They are used to dealing with politicians who drone on and on, who make over-the-top statements, who don't know how to just answer the question and move on and don't get flustered. And now they are dealing with, as the Wall Street Journal said, a real attorney general, not an acting, not someone that they beat up in their former colleague, like Jeff Sessions, who they took through the ringer in his confirmation hearing about a number of issues before getting him to recuse himself. Not a deputy attorney general. It's the real attorney general they're dealing with. It's someone who's been there before and has gone through this process. They want to make it out to be like the Nixon days. It's not. Go around your country. Go around to most parts of the world. And people have moved on. And even Democrats.
They are moving on. Look at the ratings for CNN and MSNBC. Down 26% and 14%. Go ahead, Wes.
Yeah, Congressman Doug Collins from Georgia was right today. The Democrats in the House, they really did not want AG Barr to be there. There was a collective sigh of relief on their part. This was a political stunt. It was also a political maneuver because they did not want him there. And the anger and the frustration directed at Attorney General Barr is simply because they are disappointed that the Mueller report did not come up with Russian collusion, because that was going to be their fast track to impeachment. So when that didn't come through, now they're trying to create a tale of obstruction, even though there was no crime and no obstruction.
No underlying crime, no obstruction. Obstruction by tweet doesn't exist. The Department of Justice rejects those theories because those are ridiculous. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to have your calls. 1-800-684-3110. More on this. So it's a no-show for a reason. Also, the Attorney General sent a letter, very strong letter, to the Jerry Nadler's committee saying, you are asking for the unredacted version of the report. I have offered it to you, to some of your leadership, to review. You will not even do that. Political theater. That's what this is. We'll take a break. We'll take your calls when we come back. 800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Generals not appearing before the House today. They added a caveat or a requirement that he be questioned by staff counsels rather than the members. There you have it. So he rightly said no. Now, this also comes on the heels of Senate testimony yesterday. Somebody, it was interesting. Even one of the CNN commentators said, what exactly do you think we were going to learn from the House today, Andy, that we hadn't already heard from the Senate after 7 hours of testimony?
Nothing.
Zero.
Not right. Going to hear anything.
All right. So you have a situation, I want to play this for everybody, about investigations going on and that are about to start. And this was Senator Grassley to the Attorney General yesterday. Take a listen, 41.
There have been a number of leaks coming out of the Justice Department, FBI, during high-profile investigations. The Inspector General found that during the department's investigation of Hillary Clinton for mishandling highly classified information, there was a culture of unauthorized media contacts. During the Russian investigation, the leaks continued. Leaks undermined the ability of investigators to investigate. Further leaks to the papers while Congress's questions to the department go unanswered is unacceptable. Why? What are you doing to investigate unauthorized media contacts by the department and FBI officials during the Russian investigation?
We have multiple criminal leak investigations underway.
Harry, James Comey leaked his memo of a conversation he purportedly had with the President of the United States. He leaked it through a friend of his to the press for the purpose of getting a special counsel.
Absolutely. So I think if you just look at that particular instance standing alone, that is sufficient, A, to launch an investigation, and it may indeed support a criminal charge being brought against James Comey, despite this holier-than-thou profile that he continues to engage in. He continues to act as the conscience of the country, even though his accomplishments as FBI director suggest that he doesn't even understand the law, that he doesn't understand legal principles, that he absolved Hillary Clinton of an investigation on grounds that made no logical sense. So on one hand, he laid out a case against her, but then on the other hand, he undermined it.
You know, I'm going to say this. The Department of Justice, the FBI in particular, but the Department of Justice as well, I mean, there is a pattern here. You've got these regulations, and I understand that it was the decision of the president to allow the release of the report, but I want people to understand the regulation. That's not what the regulation set forth, because you run into the same kind of analysis and problem that I criticized James Comey for when he came out three times on the Hillary Clinton matter. Under investigation, not under investigation, under investigation, not under investigation. I mean, this was ridiculous. They're not supposed to intervene in political campaigns. Now you're, 18 months out from election for president of the United States, and you got all of this hype going on right now. And I venture to say most people have not read this report. That would be asking the questions. Most of these people have not read the report. That's my guess.
Yeah, Jordan. We know they have not read even the special report prepared for Congress by the Attorney General. So it's that total number is three. They're all Republicans. And I'm not blaming the Republicans there, because many of them said they didn't need more information. They agreed with the redactions that were made. But for the Democrats, why were they not rushing in? They were also allowed to bring a staff person in. And they didn't. I mean, that is what is absurd, is those who had it available to them won't. They want all material. So the report alone is not enough now. Now it's every bit of material. I mean, they're going to put, I would love it. Bob Mueller's not going to want to give that over. The office is not going to want to give that over either. They have some active cases ongoing. This request is impossible. Department of Justice said it's impossible and illegal for the Department of Justice to comply with what Jerry Nadler and his committee are asking for.
Well, again, I think we'll take a call in a moment here. But Andy, the 6E material issue is not an option.
It is not. That material is barred from public disclosure under the federal rules of criminal procedure. I was a prosecutor, and I know how sensitive it is that material obtained through a grand jury subpoena is not subject to public disclosure. And in the letter that Stephen Boyd, the Assistant Attorney General, wrote to Chairman Nadler, he cited Robert Jackson, Attorney General of the United States, This has been the law and the policy in the Justice Department since 1941, when President Franklin D. Roosevelt was in office, okay? Open law enforcement files and sensitive material and material obtained through grand jury subpoena would do if disclosed the grossest kind of injustice to innocent individuals, since those reports could lead to suspicions and sometimes even statements of malicious and misinformed people. You don't disclose it. And they are correct in not giving it to Nadler.
All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. Let's go to Phyllis in New York on line 6. Phyllis, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Phyllis, you're on the air.
Thank you.
Sure.
I was just wondering, does it seem to you that the various things that the Democrats accuse of the Republicans are actually things of which they themselves are guilty?
Does it seem strange? No, I think this is the political theater we talked about. And then I'm telling you what I really think it is. I do not think those members of the Judiciary Committee wanted to ask questions to the Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr. That's what I think this is all about. They did not want to face in a question and answer format the Attorney General of the United States, who offered to testify today, would have gone as long as they wanted, but they put in this, we wanted to have the lawyers ask the questions, not the Attorney General. And they draw the connection between the situation when Brett Kavanaugh was up for a Supreme Court nomination, and they're saying, well, the Senate Judiciary Committee had a lawyer ask some of the questions to a witness that was not the attorney, not a cabinet member. So this is political, and that didn't, look how long that lasted until Lindsey Graham went back and took that over.
Yeah, they were trying to depoliticize the situation, and it didn't work out well, but it was an attempt to depoliticize, to take politicians out of it. She was not the staff counsel to a partisan member,
right,
of Congress and chairman. That's who this attorney would have been today, the Democrats' staff counsel, who they hired to go after Trump. I mean, literally, they hired to investigate Trump. Now, he can do all he wants as the staff counsel. He doesn't get to question the Attorney General of the United States.
Well, I think
go run for office and get elected to the Judiciary Committee. It get chosen to be on the Judiciary Committee. Then you can question the AG.
That's exactly, Jordan's exactly correct. This, again, I keep saying it's political theater. They don't want to question Bill. They don't want to have to respond and parry with Bill Barr.
I think that's correct. So I think while the United States Constitution mandates that the president is entitled to a presumption of innocence, the Democrats believe that the president is entitled to a presumption of guilt.
Which, by the way, so did that. That's the way the special counsel tried to write that report.
Precisely.
But burdens of proof.
I think smart Democrats recognize that the law is not on their side. So if we consider the issue of obstruction of justice, the legal argument against President Trump is over because the Attorney General of the United States used the correct legal standard. In order to find obstruction, we must find evidence that the president did something beyond committing a presidential act authorized by Article 2 of the Constitution. That didn't happen. The Democrats recognize that didn't happen, so they want to continue to pound the table.
All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls, 800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. You did that last month on our Matching Challenge campaign, and because of you, we reached our goal. Thank you. But also, stay engaged with us on our social media platforms as well. You can do that at Facebook, Periscope, Instagram, and of course, get the newsletter and updates at ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110, taking your calls. By the way, interesting article in the Hill by our friend John Solomon. It said, Nelly Orr's Hi Honey emails to her husband about Russia collusion should alarm all of us. And that the emails actually do say, they say, Hi Honey, and then, by the way, here's information about this person. This is... He was the number four at the Department of Justice. She's working for Fusion GPS on this with Christopher Steele on this dossier. And, you know, let me tell you something. When Bob Mueller testifies, assuming he does, people are going to ask about the Strzok, Page, Nelly Orr, Bruce Orr, how all this happened. I mean, that's part of the questioning and answering that's going to go on too here. So, again, that's just the nature of what it is. And I'm just pointing out that what you saw today at the House Judiciary Committee with Jerry Nadler's statement, the Bill Barr was willing to testify before the committee and answer questions. They would not do it. They would not do it because they've said our lawyer has to ask the question. Most of them are lawyers.
Yeah. I mean, that's usually the case the House Judiciary Committee. Not all, but most are. And I think you would have heard some Democrats were going to ask questions, especially ones running for president. They needed to get their sound bites in. Probably would have been more like statements than questions, but that's their prerogative. The truth is, I think Jerry Nadler is worried about some of those rank-and-file members getting into it with Bill Barr. Not just making statements, but getting into a back-and-forth with Bill Barr, and that becomes a whole... That's why he wanted to give them the option of turning their time over to the staff attorney.
I want to see if our team can find this for me. There was a dialogue between Kamala Harris and Bill Barr involving a question about the facts alleged by the attorney general... By the special counsel, and how they were viewed by the attorney general. It was a whole series of questions. And what she failed to understand each time was that Bill Barr, Andy, kept saying, we are taking the facts as the special counsel has set them forth. So she kept saying, well, did you review the underlying evidence? He said, no, we accepted what the special counsel said about the fact. We used his characterization and came to the conclusion under existing precedent and Department of Justice policy, there was no legal violation. She kept hitting it and hitting it and hitting it, but that was the answer.
Yeah, she was about as successful with Attorney General Barr as she is in her presidential campaign, which is nothing, because she kept saying, have you looked at the documents that he looked
underlined,
at? Yeah. No, I didn't, and I don't have to. When I get a prosecutorial memo from a United States attorney, and that's all Robert Mueller was acting
as. And Bill
as,
Barr said that. That's what he was.
He's a U.S.
Right.
attorney. That's all he is. I don't tell him, well, let me look at the 302, the document that you actually, you don't do that. You take what the prosecutor has said to you at its face value as what it is, and you make the evaluation as to whether there's a criminal case or not based upon that document. You don't, based upon his conclusion. You don't go back and look at the original source material, but she can't get that through her thick head, it seems to me. And it was so obvious that Barr kept pounding back at her and explaining it to her, and what was more obvious and tedious was she couldn't understand it.
Well, it was, they were so committed to this scenario. They were so committed to the scenario of the underlying evidence that she would not grasp that what the attorney general says. I'm assuming what they put in the memo is correct.
That's what they wanted. They wanted not the Trump officials. Could you imagine if it was, well, I went through all the evidence and I think it's even worse what they said. No, I mean, they would go nuts. But what if that was the case? Instead, Bill Barr said we took it at its word, even things we disagreed with, we analyzed it through their lens. We took it through their lens, which is what the Democrats were saying had to be done, because if that wasn't done, there would be, again, this would be impeachment, this would be obstruction. Now they want evidence, now they want every document. And, you know, pull Bob Mueller up and ask Bob Mueller if he thinks it's appropriate. I'd like to know. If he thinks it's appropriate, they turn over every single document over to Kamala Harris and unredacted 6C materials without going to court over it. See what Bob Mueller says. They don't want to ask him that either. Let's see when they actually get him scheduled.
The underlying evidence is millions of documents.
And they took the evidence as presented by Bob Mueller's team as if it was correct, even though they had disagreements, and came to the legal conclusion that there was no obstruction of justice. And by the way, Bob Mueller did not conclude there was obstruction of justice either, or he would have said so. He said, I can't exonerate, which, by the way, switched the whole burden of proof. Now you got to, you know, you're presumed guilty until you're exonerated. I mean, that's not the way it works. And I thought the Attorney General was quite right on that as well. We'll be back with more.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones because we've had Bradley holding on for a while.
Yeah, Bradley, thanks for holding on. Calling in from Maine Online, too. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Bradley.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm just wondering, why isn't it obstruction of justice when the Democrats threatened to remove Bob because he didn't file charges against Trump?
Well, and they that's not obstruction of justice. Look, this is political theater. Please understand what this is. This is political theater. And I think what we have to understand and accept when the situation like this is the attorney general was well within his rights. But you've got, Wes said this during the break, and I want our radio audience to hear it. You got James Comey writing a self-serving op-ed yesterday. Why? Because these guys are now being looked at. How? I want you to think about what James Comey did. He took a conversation he had with the president of the United States, put it in a memo purportedly, leaked that memo of a conversation with the president of the United States, leaked that memo to a friend of his to leak it to the press. And I don't think that's okay. And I suspect when the government's looking at it, and I don't know this, they won't either. Wes?
Yeah, and as this investigations, as they begin to close in on some of the operatives at DOJ and the FBI, you will hear more howling on their part. I think part of the reason that they are trashing Bill Barr, it's a preemptive strike. They want to hurt his credibility if they can, because as these investigations really launch and get into gear, some of the people like James Comey are going to be implicated in this. We already know that the corruption was rampant at the upper levels of the FBI. For example, you mentioned Nellie Orr in the last segment. They had discontinued using Ken Steele as a source for the FBI and said, we fired him. Yet in the meantime, Nellie Orr continues to feed information from Steele to her husband, who is the number four guy at DOJ at the time. The corruption's pretty rampant.
Here's the Jim Comey op-ed. First of all, this op-ed is very interesting. The title is like 15 or 20 words. How Trump co-ops leaders like Bill Barr, accomplished people lacking inner strength, can't resist the compromise necessary to survive the president. Then he goes on to, he praises like Jim Mattis for quitting, but Jim Comey didn't quit. Jim Comey wanted to keep his job. Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's the funny, bizarre contradiction again here with Jim Comey is he got fired. The worst you can be, fired as an FBI director. Told you're no good for the country. Fired. And by the way, Jerry Nadler wanted you fired. Chuck Schumer wanted you fired. Hillary Clinton wanted you fired. Every Republican, every Democrat that spoke out on it wanted you fired. You just didn't, the pundit class didn't like it when it was Donald Trump who carried out the execution of your firing. But he didn't quit. He acts like he voluntarily left because his soul. This was a guy who said under oath he wasn't tough enough to stand up to Donald Trump, and he is the FBI director of the United States.
Yeah, that's what
you
want chasing the
terrorists.
You know what's
nice to know? You don't have to worry about that with Bill Barr, do you? If he's tough enough to stand up to the, ever. You know, if they're in their back and forth private conversation. I think you go to sleep at night not having to worry about that problem.
Bill,
and keep his FBI in line.
Yeah, doing their jobs. And as I said, most of them do, but there are bad actors in there. We've seen that at the highest. I mean, it's the highest level. Don't forget. I never want to forget what we saw, Andy, transpire in this, what I would say, rather unorthodox investigation.
Yeah, well, about orthodoxy, this was not an orthodox investigation. This was an investigation that I believe had a motive, and that was to get the president. But the evidence didn't lead that, and poor Bob Mueller, although he had his marching orders from the people who put him in there, in my opinion, came up with nothing. And he said that. He said that I had no collusion and there was certainly no obstruction in a president exercising his constitutional right to fire somebody in the executive branch of government. But I think that this is just now continuing and continuing and continuing because the Democrats have nothing else to talk about.
I think that exactly the point. Let's go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Todd in Ohio on line 3. Todd, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hello, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking my call. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
I think you pretty much already answered my question, but I had wondered about this, the evidence underlying in the decision. I see a lot of news outlets and, you know, folks from the House of Representatives talking about Attorney General Barr.
Not reviewing the evidence.
And so I just wondered, you know, a little clarification, just kind of explain it. To,
okay, I want to set this up. It's a great question, Todd. So there was a series of questions between Kamala Harris and Attorney General Barr where she was trying to get him to say, you did not review the underlying evidence and you came up and said there was no obstruction. And the Attorney General's response was, no, wait a minute. We took what the special counsel said was in fact the evidence, viewed it through his lens, and came to the legal conclusion that there was not obstruction. And by the way, Bob Mueller also said we're not accusing the president of committing a crime, the part they conveniently ignore. But let's go ahead. So this is a pretty long statement, but I may interrupt it here. Take a listen.
In your March 24th summary, you wrote that, quote, after reviewing the special counsel's final report.
But I will say that no one.
Sir, I'm asking a question. Yeah. In your March 24th summary, you wrote that, quote, after reviewing the special counsel's final report, Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein and I have concluded that the evidence is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense. Now, the special counsel's investigation produced a great deal of evidence. I'm led to believe it included witnesses' notes and emails, witnesses' congressional testimony, witnesses' interviews, which were summarized in the FBI 302 forms, former FBI Director Comey's memos, and the president's public statements. My question is, in reaching your conclusion, did you personally review all of the underlying evidence?
All right, so the question is, did you, Bill Barr, as Attorney General, personally review the underlying evidence? In other words, how could you make this conclusion without reviewing the underlying evidence? Now, what Bill Barr is going to respond is very important. I want you to hear this. Take a listen.
No, we took and accepted.
We accepted. Did Mr. Rosenstein?
No, we accepted the statements in the report as the factual record. We did not go underneath it to see whether or not they were accurate. We accepted it as accurate.
We accepted the underlying evidence as if it was accurate, Harry, meaning we said we're going to assume, even if we disagree, that these are the facts.
Absolutely.
And we find there's no criminality.
Absolutely. So Senator Harris's question was not aimed at getting at the truth. She wants to simply prolong this investigation by demanding that Bill Barr go back and re-examine millions of documents, re-examine hundreds of interviews personally, along with all of his other duties. This is an absurd question, which calls into question whether or not she is competent to lead this particular country, but it's also part of a preemptive attack on his credibility.
Well, that goes back to what Wes said, that this is all preemptive attacks. But I think it's very important for people to understand what the question was. Did you review this underlying evidence? The answer to that was, I didn't have to, because we assumed what the attorney with the special counsel produced for us, as if he was a U.S. attorney, was correct, Andy.
When I was chief of the criminal division in the U.S. attorney's office, I would review files that were given to me by the other assistant U.S. attorneys, and they would make prosecutorial findings of fact. I didn't go back and look at what they did and redo their case for them. I said, I assume what you say factually is the truth, and based on that, I agree with your recommendation to prosecute or to decline to prosecute. That's all you have to do.
Here's the rest of it.
And made our,
so you
made our,
accepted the report as the evidence?
Yes.
You did not question or look at the underlying evidence that supports the conclusions in the report?
No.
Did Mr. Rosenstein review the evidence that underlines and supports the conclusions in the report, to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge. We accepted the statements in the report.
Did anyone
the characterization
in your...
of the evidence is true.
They do not want... That's the part... They assumed it was true as the basis upon which they came to the legal conclusions. So in other words, assuming everything they said is correct, we don't find a violation of the statutes here. That's what that was. But this was political theater, and the House today really didn't want to go through it. That's what this is about at the end of the day. Now, politically, I'm trying to figure out where do they think this helps?
I think that, again,
placating a part of the base?
Placating the liberal base. So Kamala Harris is running for president. She's fallen in the polls substantially. She's down, back down to single digits. She was kind of in the top tier. She's now in the second or third tier.
Yep.
She's trying to climb back up and make a name for herself. So she has to go one-on-one with Barr and make up a new reason to somehow. Again, I think if you turn this around and Bill Barr had done all of that and then come to the conclusion, because as we said, Bob Mueller, unable to, with his team of prosecutors and team of, you know, these experts, the toughest guys, couldn't figure out one way or the other and couldn't decide on paper what to do on obstruction, even say what they thought was the right choice. If Bill Barr hadn't just used what they provided, but had then gone through the evidence and then come to the conclusion, what would they be screaming? They'd be screaming, obstruction, obstruction, obstruction. He didn't take what Bob Mueller found. He rewrote his own report. Instead, they got what Mueller did, and that wasn't good enough for them. It's not good enough for the Democratic base. They can't stand it, and they're unwilling to move on, I guess, because of
their
30% of their own. Yes, at their own peril.
All right, we're taking a break. Last segment coming up. We got one phone line open, 1-800-684-3110. Back with your calls and comments in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
All right, last segment of the broadcast. We're going to take your calls, 800-684-3110. Let's go right to them.
Let's go to Diane in Florida, online for Diane. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Diane.
Hi. I know the Democrats are probably going to expect Mueller to give more of an answer and expand on any question that they've asked, but do you think that Bob Mueller is going to file or follow the same style as Barr and strictly stick to the question and answer no further?
I would think so. I mean, these guys are not going to speculate.
No, I don't think. I think Mueller's a shrewd enough character that he understands what would be at stake if he did speculate, which is a mistake. He's got to stand behind his report. He was there for 22 months, spent $30-plus million, had 18 dedicated Democratic prosecutors helping him, and came up with a result that was unfortunately bad for him, but he had to say it. And that's what it was. I think Mueller will do just fine. And
how do you explain that? You know, when you read the volume one, which is the no collusion, which is very clear early on, there's no conspiracy, which is what the actual standard is.
Right.
They let this thing go on and on and on.
I would have known. I could excuse me. I'm not that great, but I can tell you in 10 minutes, I would have told you there was no criminal case there of conspiracy. I didn't need 22 months to do that. Sorry.
All right. Back to the phones.
Yeah. Let's go to Bobby in New Jersey, online one. Bobby, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Bobby.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Great show. I just, you know, I'm not a politician. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a guy who builds houses. But to me, when you say obstruction and collusion, if there is no collusion, how can there be obstruction? How could there be obstruction of something that did not really exist? That's something that I can't seem to wrap my head around.
Well, this is an issue that Bill Barr raised and other lawyers have raised, that, you know, what is the act of obstruction when there's no underlying crime? It doesn't mean it's impossible, they say, but it makes it highly unlikely, especially since much of what they accused the president of doing was open, First Amendment protected, in my view, and was within his constitutional authority. But, you know, it's a very good question, Andy. I mean, there was no underlying crime.
You can't have a conspiracy to commit a crime that does not exist or that the facts do not show is a crime. You got to have a crime and then a conspiracy, two or more people and an overt act to commit that crime. So if there was no conspiracy to collude, you can't obstruct justice. I mean, the caller is absolutely correct. He may not be a lawyer. He may be a builder. Hopefully he's prospering under the Trump administration. I bet he is. But he is absolutely correct in his observation.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call. 800-684-3110.
Let's go to Amy in New Jersey, online 5. Amy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Amy, go ahead.
Thank you. We hear that the FISA is going to be declassified soon. Once that's declassified and all the information's out there, isn't it going to make all of this stuff a moot point? We're going to find out that this was all based on a lie, and then everything is just a waste of time because we know that this was all a hoax and that this was all a lie, and we're wasting our time again with this because there was nothing that happened. It was all fabricated. It's like accusing a kid of taking cookies. It's like a team of kids gaining up on one kid saying you stole that cookie from the cookie jar, and they just make up a crappy smear about this kid.
Well, here's the thing: the attorney general said they're going to look into how this started because he thought spying on a campaign, Harry, was a big deal.
Absolutely, and
he wants to know what those predicates were.
The attorney general needs to look at the initiation of this investigation. It's clear beyond question that this investigation of Trump and Russia commenced over 2 years ago, and there was little or no evidence in support of the underlying investigation. So much of the investigation is grounded in pure and unmistakable fiction, and that means there was not a legal predicate sufficient to launch an investigation of Carter Page, to issue a FISA warrant, and this should lead to accountability and consequences for the actors, including Comey, McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and others who participated, arguably in their own collusion, funded at least in part by the Democratic National Committee.
So I'm going to play for you. Remember I talked about the president doesn't just have to sit there and take it. He exercises First Amendment authority and constitutional authority. Here's how Bill Barr said it.
The point I was trying to make earlier is that in this situation of the president, who has constitutional authority to supervise proceedings, if in fact a proceeding was not well-founded, if it was a groundless proceeding, if it was based on false allegations, the president does not have to sit there constitutionally and allow it to run its course. The president could terminate that proceeding, and it would not be a corrupt intent because he was being falsely accused, and he would be worried about the impact on his administration. That's important because most of the obstruction claims that are being made here or episodes do involve the exercise of the president's constitutional authority, and we now know that he was being falsely accused.
There you go. That is exactly what the Democrats do not want to hear.
Absolutely. And, you know, Alan Dershowitz had an article today in one of the papers, which is really true. And even though the Supreme Court has not dealt with Article II powers and whether or not the president can be obstructing justice, he makes the case that if the president is exercising his Article II power, he can hire or fire anyone in the executive branch that he wants to, that you really can't conclude that he's obstructing justice. It's just simply not the case. You can't go into, as Alan Dershowitz says, what his thoughts and intentions were when he fired someone. It's his Article II powers as president, and there is DOJ precedent to uphold that.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Eileen calling from South Carolina. Last call of the day on line six. Eileen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Eileen.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm just wondering if everybody has this document. I don't have it. I don't care to read it because I have y'all. Thank you very much. But if everybody has these documents, why can't they read it? And then why are they questioning Barr? Can't they read it? Apparently, they've not found anything in it. I mean, it's a public document. It's like a football game. There's a replay. We saw it. Did anybody see anything wrong? No. Let's move on. So
look, I think you're 100% correct. Here's the irony. They were trying to make a big deal about this letter that Bob Mueller sent to Bill Barr about the context and the media was reporting it incorrectly or whatever it was. Fact of the matter was, that's interesting, but the whole report's out. And I would venture to say most of the members of the Judiciary Committee have not read it. Andy?
No, they haven't read it. It's obvious from the questioning that went on yesterday that just a few. Graham, I think, has read it. McConnell was going to read it. Doug Collins has read
that's
it.
That's the only three.
I mean, that's it. The rest of them were asking questions. Jay, I watched that whole hearing from gavel to gavel, and what these Democratic senators were doing were reading from texts and scripts written to them for them by their staffers, except for that foolish woman, Mazie Hirono, who read a diatribe and slandered the attorney general, as Lindsey Graham said, from top to bottom. All they were doing was reading questions that was prepared to them by staffers who skimmed the document and never read it.
I think that's exactly correct.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I think, again, what we're getting at is we're getting into the political season. I mean, 100%. The Democrats running for president are making up new issues. The leadership of the Democratic Party, I think, just doesn't know what to do. They don't know how to make people. They know that their party is about to be very divided in a primary. So you're going to have people in all these different factions. Left, center left, very left, socialist left. And so what can they do to satisfy the majority so that they can reunite when it's time for the general election? That's their big question. And so far, they're throwing everything at the wall.
Including the Sarnoff brothers sticks. Have the right to vote. That didn't work out so well for Bernie Sanders.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.